talk to Yochi this hour, as we do most every Monday. He is in Thailand, and we're going to bring on Dana Durnford, who is up in the wilds of British Columbia along the coast. We'll find out how his research expedition is going. He's the only man doing anything in the world to honestly report on what's happening along the British Columbia coast. As you know, if you have been watching Rents at the top center column or looking at the major archive in the right column, you'll understand what's going on at Fukushima. Not good. Not good at all. Fukushima cleanup based on shady science and taxpayer ripoffs. Chernobyl disaster city. Incredible drone footage of that forlorn place. Very interesting to look at that. Back in Japan, a worker says that TEPCO is hiding massive amounts of radiation that is flowing into the sea every day, 24, 25, 26 hours a day. Yes, that much. The CDC admits that a public health emergency exists from Fukushima radiation, but they don't really tell us in honest numbers what's going on. Two United States Navy sailors at least are now dead from the Fukushima radiation plume that the USS Reagan sailed through twice. There's a lot going on. You can find it all there. As we know now also, sea life all up and down the West Coast from Washington moving south, and it becomes a little less intense as you do move south. But in the northwestern U.S., the Pacific Ocean, and much of the ocean, apparently all the way across, is now devoid of life. It's dead. Can it come back? Probably not. As Dana will describe later, the nursery of the ocean, that short little span between the seashore and I don't know what depth the water is. It's not very far out. That's where everything is recycled, reborn, recreated, and it's gone. It looks like Mars with oceans now up there. Yochi, are you there? Can you hear me all right? I guess not. Are you there, Yochi? Sounds like we got a line open. Nope, not hearing him. All right, let's see if Dana is on there. Are you there, Dana?
Yeah, I'm right here, Jeff.
Thank you very much for being there. We got always have phone trouble with Yochi, and we have our suspicions about why. What's going on, my friend? How's the how's the trip? What's the status right now?
Yeah, you know, headed out 2 days ago, Monday, two heading up the coastline with 12 hours a day. And it's been a long, long day, cold day, snowed all day, and had to push for 4 minutes to get in and park the boat because of the rare ice on the coastline. Very rare, thin ice, but nevertheless, had to, you know, so I got a little video that's going to pop up of that stuff, and I'm going to have to change the heating on that boat as I go up the coastline. And so this is the kickoff. I'm at the very top of Vancouver Island. That's pretty good in 2 days. I'm happy with that. 35 kilometers an hour most of the way. -5 this morning when I left, so nice chilly mornings.
Uh-huh. At 6 o'clock did you say -5?
-5, a rare temperature. But the temperatures are going to come up to pluses 10 in a few days. This is a rare cold front that showed up along the coastline. But that's how much urgent I see in this, is that this is the good weather also, and so it's time to go because you're not going to get the perfect combination, no matter how good you would like it. And so we're bucking our way up the coastline. It's not bad. It's all inside passaging from here on up also. And you got 26,000 islands to tuck away behind all the way up. It's a very safe trip. And I just have to solve a heating problem. Turned out the generator's not going to work for me on that little boat. And so I got another solution, but I'm going to have to go pick up that stuff tomorrow. No big deal. And then I'm really happy, 12 hours, because we just redone everything on the boat completely, and everything was stellar, just flick switches, turnkey, all the way through. And the heating, I got one propane heating, but every time it hits a bump, it cuts out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm heading up to the show. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Jeff.
Okay, I think Yochi is back on now. You there? Yochi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that interruption. Yeah, sometimes.
No problem. Dana's just bringing us up to date.
I'm listening. Yeah.
He's on the second day of his trip. -5 degrees. Is that Fahrenheit or Celsius?
It's cold
winter.
Celsius. Celsius.
Cold in Arctic winter.
We're wimps. But everything's covered in frost, and you got to check it all out. It's worse conditions on the inside passage is the spot to do it. I can trust me, not up there all by yourself. And so for 12 hours, I tested everything, put it through its paces, and it's spectacular, really tight, really nice. And I just got to solve the heating issue tomorrow. So I'll go find some kind of furnace for that thing or whatever the case may be. But, you know, the whole way through, I never seen a single group of birds diving and feeding the entire 12 hours, not once, up the entire inside of Vancouver Island. I left Campbell River this morning at 6 o'clock and dodged along at around 10 kilometers an hour, but I didn't see a single group of birds feeding. That is the most bizarre thing I've ever experienced.
Now, even at -5, there should still be carrion eaters, birds feeding.
Up to 168 species that are normal. Yeah, mm-hmm, they got to eat. Mm-hmm. And then you've got 146 species or so that are migratory. And I never seen any of them except for the few cormorants, the seagulls, a scattered eagle. But we don't see eagles on the beaches anyway feeding. You'll never see crows on the beaches feeding. There's nothing there to feed on. And you won't see seagulls feeding in those areas. You'll see them hanging out around the fresh water. If you see them anywhere, the rivers are coming out. They're looking for trout and small fry and that coming out of different spots. But you won't see them congregating on the shoreline in masses, or they won't harangue you. They won't steal. You can leave your groceries on the deck of the boat. I've never seen that one before. Normally, you would put the groceries on the deck of your boat, turn your back, and the crow would steal your cheese or steal something. You couldn't turn your back on these things. And the ravens, they just... And I mean, I'm not kidding you. If you were to go down, put stuff on the boat, walk back up and get more stuff, say, years ago, and you didn't put it inside, yeah, they'd get into it and tear it open. That'll never happen for some reason. It can't be nothing to do with radiation.
Are you sure?
It has to be some kind of pathogen we haven't worked out yet.
They seem to be too passive. That's not normal. That's weird.
Well, I don't see them. They don't stalk you. They're not harassing you. They're not visible. Huh. They're not hanging around. They're not popping around. The dog is not chasing them away.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on.
Are you making this run still alone?
I am so, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, there's only enough room on that team for one person anyway. I got an amazing amount of safety equipment, safety gear, e-berts that'll call in the Coast Guard. You paid $1,100, $1,200 taxes. That's so they'll come and get you. All you got to do is pull a tab.
Yeah.
You don't even
got to
say anything. Here's
right.
Your GPS will show up there. But this thing can't sink. You can't sink that boat. And if it's an emergency and a medical thing, I can just pull on that one. Once again, you know, I stop the boat whenever I'm moving to do anything. Everything is locked. I'm locked inside the boat the whole time, basically. And then I have to unlock all the doors and rubber bands and all the locks just to make sure you don't accidentally lock yourself out. But the motors are always stopped. And we go up the coastline, and I hit each community and drag out people in the community for a bit of fun. Not really, but to get the data and the information. And also, that it doesn't hurt to have somebody else out there for a day. But the idea is I'm out there 100% of the time. I wake up in the morning, I drop the camera over the side of the boat where I'm cooking breakfast, and I do nothing but get data. Get data and more data and endless data the entire way through.
Great.
And I don't have to fight or argue or you know what I'm saying, about which or what or what we can do or can't do, because we can do it if it's just me there.
Are you sleeping on the boat?
That's right. We got a cot on the boat. I got a cot on the boat, and I sleep. The idea is that I do all my editing at the end of the day, but I'll also do night tides, too, while I'm there. And so it's the real deal. This is stuff I've done all my life. But not in a long time, certainly not under these conditions, and certainly not with this particular type of destinations. It is a very unusual one, but it is something I traveled all these spots before, I'm familiar with, and I know where it's safe to go get the data, where it's safe to where to go get fuel all the time. I know where all the anchorages are. I know where all the tanboys, fisheries and ocean tanboys to tie up to out there in heavy breezes there too. But I'm also ran some of the biggest fleets in Canada underwater on this coastline period, Bar Nine. And so I have the actual skills and I have the resume for this. And so when it comes to nuclear, I also had that side of it covered very extensively. I covered over 9,000 headlines from Fukushima, openly live streaming it out and debating with people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I just stick to the actual narrative that we know
okay.
is accurate.
All right, very good. Now, Yochi, the latest from Japan, from a worker at Daiichi, is that TEPCO has essentially just quit trying.
Mm-hmm.
The water is flowing into the ocean at an unbelievable level, 24 hours a day, nonstop. They're doing nothing.
Yeah.
They've given up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no way to stop it. There's no means to stop it. There's no way to stop it. It's going in and stronger than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, what we have there, and Arne Gundersen a couple months ago said, the radiation is likely to pour into the ocean from Fukushima, the wrecked, destroyed plant, and the melted corium underground into the
right.
into the sea for the next century, 100 years. And we're
right.
figuring, you and
yep.
I think we calculated at minimum there's 1,000 metric tons a day of radiated water flowing into the ocean, at minimum.
Oh, yeah. It's probably much more than that. I mean, you know, these are very, relatively small numbers. I mean, 1,000 metric tons, yeah. These are the relentlessly pouring in. It's direct to Japan. It's just...
Well, we'll get him back. We'll get him back. We'll keep trying. One day we're going to get him when he's over here again, and we won't lose him. All right, now, what I wanted to say was the obvious, and that's what Dana is doing up there in British Columbia is pricelessly important. No one else is doing it. I would submit, and I think Dana may agree with me, that the Canadian government and the American government are monitoring and checking and testing everything worth testing constantly. They know what's going on, don't they, Dana?
Well, we gave them all the money they ever wanted, all the equipment they ever wanted. We gave them all the education they ever wanted. We gave them all the authority they ever want, and we gave them too much of all of that, actually. And, yeah, that's what they do. That's their job. So they went out and done it, but they're just not going to tell us. Like, Japan created 5,500 models in the first 50 days or so, and they didn't tell that to the public who paid for it all and paid for their pensions. Right? So, I mean, that's what they do. They create it so they can get their own out of the way. They can convince their own to get out of that area. They can make decisions and liquidate assets in those areas. And, you know, or they can import people they want to get rid of into those areas.
How much...
They're a maniacal system.
Dana, how much longer can the government even pretend that there is life, viable, significant life left in the ocean? I mean, it's...
Well, it's kelp cavities disappear if they're in trouble because there'd be nothing to do anyway.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I got that documented in pictures for 1,200 kilometers. And so if the ocean didn't recede it, so one place, it does, and it can't do it in another place either. Well, like the ocean, if you plow it in, things will come up deeper and fill it up right away. And from the left and right, will come in and fill it up right away. This whole coastline didn't repopulate itself. And it's shocking that I got to go up the rest of the way up the coastline. But I need to go up there myself to see it myself, just like anybody else would imagine. And once I go up there and put those pictures up, it won't take long. I'll put up lower quality pictures so everybody got a synopsis of what I seen that day. And you know, that is unbelievable that we're considering that could be true. This is the Crown Service. There's no industry up there, but it's the same thing along the west coast of Canada, where you know it's just wild coastline, beautiful coastline, and we're not finding. Just only 1% to 1%. 6,500 species of invertebrates that's already identified in this coastline. We never found any of them.
Well, in another couple of years, there'll be zero.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
It'll be all
and even
gone.
If they're going to be gone, that's right. And 480 species of worms, none. And you should find them in all the tidal pools,
none.
The nursery of the ocean. And then that's where all the small fry and larvae and everything, you do need all these to mm-hmm. to make each other work besides the phytoplankton and everything else to make everything else work. So, yeah, it's I'm going up there because it has to get done, and who else can we trust that it's just going to publish the pictures that they find, take pictures of everything, and if it's not in the picture, then it's not there. It's as simple as that. If it doesn't show up in the picture, it's because it wasn't in that area. And once again, the white sea anemones, you know, the white sea anemones should populate the entire coastline.
Mm-hmm.
And up here in the 26,000 old Yoshi, had said it many times, you should find pockets. I hope I do find some rare pockets of the white sea anemones out of the water, just for old time's sake, and get that documented. I think I'm just documenting the death of
now,
the ocean.
Another question. In the winter, does the tide pool life pre-Fukushima, does the tide pool life cycle change in the winter as compared to the summer, or is it always pretty much full, as it used to be, of sea life?
Right. It was it's rainforest coastline.
Okay.
And so it doesn't matter where you're to, it's a rainforest coastline. And
I see.
It's a constant temperature, and you don't get thick pack ice that would come in and crush everything like the east coast of Canada does.
So the tide pool life used to stay, the tide pool life.
The same species all year long.
Same species,
yeah, same,
species same balance.
Okay, year.
Got it. Things
and
don't die off and come back.
Babies in the summer
back.
Times,
I
babies.
See.
Yeah, the super life gets a bit better in the summer times. But the actual, every millimeter of the coastline itself is up to 9,500 species. And we might find 20 species in an area if we're lucky. And any tidal pool, you should find 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 species if you got enough people and time. Certainly anywhere on the coastline, no matter
right,
where you went.
Right.
And we haven't found anything close to that, let alone the rest of them, in the entire coastline. Yeah.
Have you had any luck with any of the local? Now, nobody likes somebody being a bearer of bad news. And, you know, they would try to paint you with that brush. But have you been covered in any local newspapers and or television stations, what you're doing and what you're finding? Have you been able to get any coverage at all? Or is
not to my knowledge. The idea now is to go interview them and ask what they not to say, hey, I'm here to tell you about Fukushima at all. I'm here to ask you about Fukushima. And I'm just going to do an interesting, at the same time I'll do the other, I'm sure, but I'm going to do a survey of the coastline of all the media, I decided, and see what they know about Fukushima. And I'm not going to correct them. I'm just going to ask them what they know and tell them to have a nice day and ask them to check out my website later when they get a chance. Because I got a feeling about, you know, how powerful that can be at the end of all this trip of all these people that are naive.
Yeah.
And gullible. And
yeah,
we say the same thing everywhere I go. And so I'm not going to tell them, Jack, until I'm leaving and just see what the story is everywhere I went. You know, I was at the wharf today fueling up in Port Alice. And I came out, and a husband and a wife had pulled up in their fishing boat. And they were still looking at my boat when they asked me, how is that funded? I said, that's crowdsourced. And she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for damage from the multi-reactors of Fukushima to the coastline. And she said, she reached in her pocket and took out, I don't know, a whole bunch of toonies and gave them to me. And I thought that was so emblematic of why I'm here in the first place, is because everybody had reached into their pocket and threw something in my direction at the nuclear proctologist or you know, and that's why we were able to get it to and get the data. I'm not funded by an institution or a university. I'm completely independent. And all I'm going to do is take pictures and put them up on the nuclear proctology. It's very straightforward. And at the same time, I have a bit of a personality. And, you know, I know how to push back a little tiny bit. And it hurts me to go to see something I know so well. I dove so many years before, stripped. You know, I didn't think that was possible. And certainly in 3.5, almost 4 years, I couldn't even conceive it, but now I certainly can, because a gram produces more radioactive elements than all the grains of sand and all the beaches on the planet. And you talk about a single rod is 18 pounds. Well, that's enough to give everything on the planet cancer many times over. And
sure.
Most of these elements are coming from, had already went through a chain reaction, so they're all hot particles, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
based up on the fact that they already went through a chain reaction. And now they went through a chain reaction, so they're 2 million times worse again than what the original element was after it went through the chain reaction, become 2 million times. And that's what happens to these elements. You take an element that we created and you put it through a chain reaction and it becomes 2 million times more carcinogenic and deadly in longevity because of its chain reaction. And so that's the urgency, and the fact that that's why these elements are coming over from spraying the salt water on the reactors for 40 days. It's like another corium going off every day. And so that stuff doesn't solute in the water, but it does stick to rocks. And we got studies showing that in farms and that in Fukushima Prefecture, why things won't grow there is because the radiation sticks to objects and rocks and stuff and clay, in the clay and that. And that would make sense and why we're not seeing anything on the coastline, because everything washes down to the coastline from the disposition, from the aerosol stuff, and then everything is hemorrhaging, like you were saying to Yoshi before you got cut off. You know, just endless tons coming out. Nobody's trying to stop. They're just trying to lie. That's all they've done since they've been there. It's just endless lie. 50,000 lies a year.
Oh, yeah.
And they, every day is a different flavor.
No, no. They don't know how to speak truth anymore. Yoshi, are you back with us?
Yeah. Yes, I'm there. This has been a very bad line today, yeah.
Okay. All right. We got a break coming up here. We were just talking
about
his progress up there. He's on the way, and it is, it's an incredible journey. It's too bad.
No good news. That's all I can say. Yeah. Right.
I wish there was someone on board with him that was documenting this and making a video documentary out of it. But he's uploading a lot of video. So. Very capable.
Yeah. All right. It's confirming everything he's found out so far. So
yeah, absolutely.
No change. It's grim.
No.
It's very grim.
No change.
Extremely grim. It's getting worse. Yeah.
All right. Hold on, gang. We'll come right back in just a few minutes.
Yep.
Stay tuned. Okay, and we're back talking with Dana Durnford up in the wilds on the, well, on the northern end of Vancouver Island, and Yoshi Shimatsu in Thailand. All right, Yoshi, can you hear me okay? Okay, I barely hear you. See if you can talk a little louder, like a lot louder. No, Todd, we're going to have to try another line, I guess. I don't know. Thanks for trying. It's just an impossible situation down there sometimes. I don't know why. What are you hearing, Dana? Back through your site from people who are following the expedition, the research expedition, are you getting folks who are taking your material, any of it, rebroadcasting it, taking it to their local newspapers, taking it to their local public access cable TV channel stations, which will allow you to run things? And, I mean, you're providing is a treasury of truth.
Yes. I know that a lot of people are trying. Say, Yoshi?
Yeah, I don't think he's here yet.
Okay. There is a lot of people out there. My videos, my presentations, like 1 hour live streams, can get a little wacky sometimes, but blown off a bit of steam. But it's generally full of information the entire time, documentation, pictures, and I use Wirecast to import everything. And so it's a decent little presentations. They have gone viral over and over and over out there. But, of course, like, there's an internet blackout out of Japan and stuff like that. I don't know if they're getting to see it. But I do know that it's gone. You know, I get a lot of people sending me pictures, and I get a lot of people of me phoning me and telling me their stories of their areas. They go down and investigate right across the board, America and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a lot of people that are really, truly shocked and determined to go down and prove you wrong. And then they ended up... heartbroken, and these are some sad stories I've heard from these people and I've been told, and it really impacts me in a very strange way and a unique way. It's like that lady today come up and gave me money and she realized what I was actually doing because she understood a little bit about it. And so Canadians are different, I think. I think the average person is okay if you gave them the information, but it's not showing up on TV, it's not showing up in the media, it's not showing up on the radio, it's not showing up, like you say, in any of these venues. And so the idea is to go in and present myself in a different key as the interviewee and just on the record with these people, just trying to have a, at the same time, see, Jeff, it takes money to rent these halls in the community, then I got to head back to the community, and so if I got the capability to do that, that's what I'll be doing, and they can get pretty expensive, but you can pack the people in there and inform them. If you can get just one community on this coastline to light up,
only one, yeah, sure.
That one moment, then you can maybe change, I don't know. You know that routine. Can you really change anything doing what we're doing? I don't know. It doesn't seem, even though we do see the media is coming out and slowly admitting that everything is dying, but they're trying to blame it on these imaginary pathogens, these little bilge monsters or something, come and killed all the creatures here or there, and it's got to be, it can't be radiation. It can't possibly, for some reason, be something from Fukushima. No, the jet streams are not real. No, the currents are not real. No, it doesn't. It only if the terrorists get it, does it matter. It doesn't matter. How many, they're sickening. What they're doing is they use all these laws about terrorists would get their hands on a gram of it and pollute somebody's city. And meanwhile, they got trucks, just endless loads dumping in the ocean off the city. They got endless loads going everywhere. And all the reactors on the planet into the communities. Like, each reactor fuel pool is boiling off into that community. 120,000 liters of elements from cracked fuel rods, from all these cracks after going through the chain reaction, all these unstable rods are burning off that water. But, I mean, they're chewing up a million gallons a minute for the reactor. All that larvae, all the small fry, all the eggs, all the billions of creatures, trillions and hundreds of... what's in a glass is about a billion, so what's in a million gallons? Because the ocean and even fresh water is a soup of life, and so by definition. But back to what you asked me originally was, no. And so the idea is they're going to have to find a way to get in there where they think they come up with the idea, and then maybe they write about it, and then it gets picked up. Because it won't get picked up. Right, this is how it works here in Canada. I don't know about America, but your local community has to print the story before CBC or one of the big medias will pick it up.
Okay.
So a local one has to vet it, and so most of the local ones are owned by just a couple of corporations here in Canada.
Yeah,
and same thing with the radio stations here in Canada.
Oh yeah,
very picky who they let on it. Very picky what they're allowed to say. And they're monitored the whole time in the radio stations here. And the managers will call up whoever's on the radio at any given time and say, hey, right?
Well, American media and six corporations own 95% of American media. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's a joke.
Yeah. It's worse than a joke. It's brainwashing. AP and Reuters puts out a picture and a story, a couple of paragraphs. I mean, everything on the planet aggregates with robots at the same time. So everybody on the planet gets the same picture and the same two headlines.
Exactly.
And the same,
oh, yeah.
Right? And then everybody regurgitates that in the elevators and taxis and buses and everything else all day, every day, till the next headline gets in their face and they do it again.
Yeah.
And
it's so darn easy to when you've got the technology, it's so easy to control and program the masses. It really is.
You know, you've covered it way extensive beyond anything I can even imagine. I can't even imagine all the interviews you've done on that subject just alone. It's inconceivable. What must go through your head sometimes.
You
just can't say it.
I won't. Yeah, I mean, I know that this audience cares and they're interested in information and reality, or they wouldn't be listening. But what can they do with it in a practical sense when we're denied access? We're denied access to the mainstream media. We're denied access to the political process. We're denied access to the economic process now, which is being completely remade. Mom and pop stores, Main Street America is gone. The big box stores are dominant. The malls are even dying now. They're not doing well. it's really all over. Entrepreneurial America has long ago peaked. Now, that doesn't mean that there still aren't opportunities for entrepreneurs, because there are. And in some ways, the worse things get, the more acute and interesting the opportunities can be. But it's up to the people to be able to figure out what will work and what should be pursued. Hold on just a minute, Dana, if you would, I'll come right back. Yochi, are you back there yet?
Yeah, we've had a terrible line today. Yeah, I'm back from news from Japan.
Yeah, we'll do that in a couple minutes. Hold on, Yochi. We got to take a break.
Great, yeah.
We'll do that
right,
in about, just a couple minutes.
Great.
All right. Okay, and we're back. Dana, why don't you go take care of business, get some rest. You're putting out maximum energy and then some. And Yochi and I will finish up here this half hour. So,
yep, good stuff, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night, folks.
Okay, Dan.
And we'll see you maybe next time.
Good luck, you, Dan. Keep it up, man. Stay warm.
I will, my friend. Thank you. Good night, folks.
Good night. All right.